Good morning, church. Well, as David would say, how great it is to see your smiling faces here this warm January morning. Warm by comparison to yesterday. David was called away to officiate at the funeral of his uncle in Florida. So it's only fitting that here today we have Florida-type temperatures to keep us all warm here as we get up, I think, and we're getting in the 30s today. So I've been graciously asked to fill in for David. We're going to explore the Gospel of Mark and the baptism of Jesus Christ. So it'll be good times. Let us all stand and share the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning. I too offer a warm welcome, albeit it is a little chilly. And just as a reminder, this is an offshoot. It is chilly this morning. We are aware that it's chilly this morning, but it was bitter cold, as you know, and when it gets into single digits hovering at the zero mark, it is extremely difficult to heat the church. So yes, the furnace works. Yes, it's been running nonstop pretty much since last Sunday. So during these next couple weeks, I would encourage you just to wear an extra sweater or bring a scarf, or if you feel compelled, bring your favorite blankie. Yes, or sit closer together. You can come up front. You know, there's lots of heat radiating off the candles and the lights and the organ. It's wonderful. So next Sunday, I'll see you all starting in row one. All right, again, let's get back to our business at hand. And again, a welcome to all of you. Please sign your red registration booklets. Please sign the pad in that booklet and pass it back to the center aisle. I do offer a welcome to visitors. I'm not spotting any, but if you are a visitor, please see one of the ushers, or if you feel compelled, there are welcome packets hanging on a shepherd's crook back on the altar table in the narthex. If you have a prayer request this morning, please use the 3x5 index card that's found in the red folders, and the ushers will bring them forward to Brian this morning. Several announcements I will highlight. The nursery is looking for volunteers for 2015. Each week we do need two attendants, and we can staff that with adults and teens. So if you are interested, if we have enough volunteers, really in 52 weeks, you might only have to serve two or three times. So that is our goal, to get as many volunteers as we can. A reminder from Mrs. Wallace, who spearheads our Women's Bible Study Group. It will reconvene this Wednesday, January 14th at 10 a.m. They are studying the book of Revelation and will start with a discussion of the first three chapters. So if you have any particular questions, please see Wallace. And also a reminder from the office, the Greensburg District School for Lay Servant Development. There are brochures, and they are found on the half door at the church office. And the sessions begin mid-February, the 22nd of February, and continue each Sunday through March 15th at the Charter Oak United Methodist Church. So there is an information brochure, but certainly if you have any particular questions, please contact Reverend Lake. And a final announcement, to just check your bulletin for additional meetings and other activities that pertain to the life of our church.
Thank you.
please stand for the call to worship and recite your response to my prompt? The voice of the Holy One flashes forth, filling the world with awe and delight. The voice of the Holy One cries out, bathing the world in goodness and hope.
The God of glory thunders, full of majesty.
The voice of the Holy One calls to us from the waters, pouring out love in an endless stream.
Let us worship the God who calls us.
Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer printed in your bulletin. Holy Maker of all that is and ever will be, in the beginning you breathed over primal waters, speaking light out of darkness, separating evening from morning, creating the first night and the first day. When Jesus rose from the waters of his baptism, you spoke again, calling him your holy child as the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. When Paul baptized the new believers at Corinth, your Holy Spirit came upon them, pouring out words of prophecy and story. In this day of celebration and memory, fill us with your word and bathe us in your spirit, that we may know ourselves as beloved children, ready to give of ourselves for the sake of the world. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 209, Blessed Be the God of Israel.
We have any children here today? Good morning. Good morning to you. Where's a few of you then? Is that it? You're probably used to seeing Pastor Dave here. I'm Brian. I'm nice to meet you. What's your
name? I'm Hannah.
You're Hannah. And you are? Well, nice to meet you. I was asking the children at the earlier service whether they knew what a baptism was. Have you ever heard the word baptism? Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's where somebody gets the water dumped on their head.
That's right. It does happen during baptism. Do you remember your baptism?
No.
No, probably. Have you been baptized yet?
Yeah.
Okay. But you were too little to remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have it done here?
Somewhere else?
I bet you've seen baptisms done here, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what that is? Come on over here. This is what they call the baptismal font. And when we have a baptism, you know how they usually have it out in the center here?
Yeah.
And then the water goes in here, right? Do you ever see that? You want to see? Come on, close. I'm going to pick you up. See, there's water put in there, and Pastor Dave blesses the water. You want to see? No? Okay. Pastor Dave blesses the water, and then you're right. Usually your parents are there, right? And there's people out there in the congregation, right? And David takes the water, and he sprinkles it on the child, usually holds him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember that? And you may recall that when your baptism, and the baptisms you've watched here, the parents make a promise to God to raise you up in Christian knowledge and education. And the congregation makes a promise to God during baptisms to support those children and help them in Christian education. So you're not alone. Your parents are here for you. Congregation's here for you. Right? And someday you'll have kids and you'll be there for them. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit descends upon you and protects you. And when you have problems, when you're feeling down, you can reach inside you and rely upon the Holy Spirit to help you through. Yeah. Let's have a little word of prayer. Father, we are blessed by the opportunity to shepherd these children in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to teach them in your ways, to teach them the faith that will give them salvation through the sacrifice of your Son. And for this, we give you blessings. We give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And we're going to be collecting offerings today. Now, help me out again here, Diane. The Bethany House, which is in North Pittsburgh, right? And these offerings will help support that local community. And we thank you. The information is in the bulletin if you'd like to read more about the Bethany House.
To appear, and we will fall.
Thank you, Jean and Diane. A beautiful lead-in to our responsive reading, found on page 761 of your red hymnal. Please respond to my prompts. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, the Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
God will forgive, show them.
O Lord, you are full of majesty. Your Son Jesus set aside his majesty and was baptized in solidarity with us. Thank you for the gift of his baptism. Send your Holy Spirit anew to guide us, and by your power make us people who proclaim the joy of your good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's time to present our joys and concerns. I don't have any cards up here. I don't think anyone is in the hospital right now, unless somebody knows differently. We do express our Christian sympathy to Pastor David and his family with the death of his uncle David in Florida. May God comfort and bless them. Are there any other concerns or joys or petitions you would like to bring before God today?
I didn't fill it out. My aunt,
Gigi. So prayers for my Uncle Charles and his boys on the death of my aunt. Her services are tomorrow.
Thank you.
Sarah and I are celebrating our 64th wedding anniversary today. And all I want to say about it is it's been a great life and I do it all over again.
I was waiting for Wendell to say something here. I heard him say that this was his 64th anniversary. And what I didn't know is this is actually a miracle because Wendell mentioned that he's only 63 years old. It's amazing. Well, with those concerns to our attention and those in your heart, we are going to proceed with the prayer hymn and feel free to come to the prayer rail if you are so moved to do so. Our prayer hymn is number 252. Father, we come to you today, bathed in the Holy Spirit, and give all thanks to you, Holy God, for your grace and mercy available to us through the works of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we come to petition with Christians around the world for your peace, your justice, and your comfort. We pray for the people of Paris, France today that have experienced the reality of cruelty and terror. We pray for those persecuted for their faith in you. We pray for those who have been forgotten by humanity. We pray for the wisdom in our world leaders, in our country's leaders, in our state leaders, in our local leaders. We pray you keep our families close to you and provide comfort and healing to persons on our prayer list that was mentioned today, from Tracy's family, from David's family, and those others in our hearts. These things we pray through your beloved Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able to stand for the sermon scripture today, taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 4 to 11, I'm actually going to start at chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face who shall prepare the way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptist, Dizer, appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Well, I'm in the full throes of the post-Christmas blues. I have them every year. The seasonal rituals and the celebrations are over. The inside decorations are all down at my house and here at the church. And just yesterday, I was out running some errands, and my wife snuck out and disconnected all the outside decorations, so I can't turn those on anymore. She gets embarrassed when I leave them on too long. There's no more holiday carols. I've blown through all my vacation days at work, so that's shut. We have some cookies left, but they're pretty stale, and you have to put them in your mouth and then just sort of wallow in the saliva until you can actually bite down on them. It's back to the routine. Oh, man. So I guess perhaps it's fitting that our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, who, quite frankly, totally ignores the Christmas experience. If you want to hear about the birth of Jesus Christ, you better go to Matthew. You better go to Luke, because Mark doesn't go there. You can't read Mark, and you can't hear about the angel or the stars or the shepherd or the wise men or the manger or the innkeeper. Well, that's there in this gospel. And quite frankly, I don't think Mark had that luxury because of his target audience. By most accounts, Mark was writing to the Gentiles in Rome, men of action. They had no real interest or appreciation for the genealogy of Jesus Christ that you see in the beginnings of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. They had no concern as to whether or not the genealogy of Christ matched up with the Israel prophets of old. You would have got halfway through them and you would have lost them entirely. They would have left and gone out and, do what Romans do, I guess. Enslave barbarians and things like that. He had to get their attention, and so he fast-forwarded through all that to this point. And in the first verse of Mark, it's not even a sentence, really. It's a title for what he's going to do. It says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. He's saying, the good news starts right here with this story, with the baptism of Jesus. Wow. I don't know if I've ever thought about it that way before. To him, that was a defining moment where Jesus, after 30 years of preparation in relative obscurity, steps forward to the Jordan and steps into the battlefield. That's the good news of John Mark. The story is set, and we hear that John is out in the wilderness in his ministry, which strikes you a little odd from location, and I think that tells you a little bit about John the Baptist, and I think it tells you a little bit about his followers. Counterintuitive to the church of today. The church of today tends to focus and plan itself to be accessible to the sheep. You get the impression that John the Baptist had no use for city living and he had no use for the establishment. And he could have. He by right was a Levite. He could have taught at the temple like his father. But he chose to go out to the wilderness and he said, sheep, if you want my ministry, you come to me. And you better become ready to confess your sins and repent. And I think it tells us something about the followers of John the Baptist because they were willing to make that journey. They were prepared to make that change. And they came to him willingly. It had been over 300 years since a prophet had appeared in Israel. And the wilderness had some comfort for the Israeli people because they were released from bondage from Egypt into the wilderness. So that the concept was not foreign to them. And that brings me to my second observation about this setup, is that the concept of baptism did not appear to be completely foreign to these people. We oftentimes think of baptism as something post-crucifixion. But in fact, the cleansing water is something that's discussed way back in Leviticus in terms of addressing spiritual impurities. And when Gentiles were converted into Jewish faith, they would also be baptized and they'd go in the water. And then when they came up, they would recite the Shema from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. But it was a self-administered baptism of the Old Testament. John brought something new to the table. It was qualitatively different because those who came to John for baptism, even though it was by water, they went to do that to be administered by John, number one, and they had to be ready to repent, to change, and to confess their sins. There was a qualitative difference between the baptism of John and the water rites of the Old Testament, but we'll also see that there is a qualitative difference between what John the Baptist did in the River Jordan and the baptism following Jesus Christ. And it is because even though John the Baptist was on the right track, he had no way to get from point A to point B without someone to represent humanity who was without sin. In the springtime, the birds come back, you know, into the area, and we have a bird feeder out back. I'm convinced birds are the dumbest creatures in the world. They fly into the window, and they shake it off, and then the next bird comes in, flies directly into the window. Sometimes they get up and do it all over again. It's the same issue here with the baptism of John through water. You can't get past that glass ceiling to forgiveness because there's no one there to take up the human condition and represent us there. John was unable to do that, and John recognized that. He knew. He deflected the attention to him, to the one that was coming, who would not bathe with, would not baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a concept that John was familiar with, but he didn't fully comprehend. Just as I don't know that we can fully comprehend what the Holy Spirit is. So, to Mark, the good news is when Jesus comes to the River Jordan and he steps into the river ready to identify with humanity, ready to accept the burdens of our transgressions, for he knew none. And when he submerged himself into the River Jordan, his fate was sealed at that point. On his terms, by his will, he had entered the battleground. That's quite a concept. It's quite a gift. It's something that we have, dare I say, a tendency to take for granted. What is clear is what follows in the next set of verses, through 9 through 11, is nothing less than this almost incomprehensible cosmic event. Chapter 9, or verse 9, Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. Why? Hold on. Time out. John had a baptism of repentance. Jesus did not require his baptism because Jesus had not sinned. And you don't see it in Mark, but there's a dialogue that's in Matthew and in Luke where John the Baptist questions about this. You are without sin. There's no point in this. Absolutely, there was a point in this. The point in it was the good news itself. That Jesus recognized our condition, he accepted us, and he was ready to burden, to take the burden of all our sins and present them before God. It's like the war hero who falls on a live grenade. For us, that's the good news. That's what the Romans wanted to hear. The actions of this man. And so Jesus submerges, and when he lifts from the water, immediately the heavens are open. Actually, the original Greek text talks about schizo. It's not the heavens were open. They were ripped apart. It's one of two times that Mark uses that verb in the gospel. One, right here. And the second time, after Christ takes his last breath on the cross in the veil separating the masses from the Holy of Holies torn open, and that barrier is removed between man and God. The people who came to John the Baptist for baptism, they were motivated. They were passionate about their desire to change. And what we have to experience ourselves every year when we read this scripture is to make sure we don't take the gift that has been given to us for granted. You can't be a Christian and not give 100%. That's not always easy to do. I'm going to make a confession right here. I don't say it to be funny. I'm even more ashamed of it now than before I started preparing for this sermon. But there are days that I will come here for a service, and I'm already thinking towards what I'm going to do when I leave. And the usher will hand me my bulletin, and I'll skim down the bulletin. Ugh, it's a baptism today. That's going to cost me 15 minutes right there. And I sit there, and I go through the motions. Wow. To belittle that experience. Every infant that's baptized here is a spiritual, cosmic experience. And we're privileged to have the opportunity to participate in that and to surround those infants with our Christian love. Can't belittle that. You can't go through the motions on that. I hope I'm the only one. But if there are others out there that find themselves from time to time just going through the motions, let's just vow to stop that. It's wrong. It's an insult. It really is. We've been given this gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ in his work on the cross. We can't ever forget that. You know, I remember when Dave, I think it was Pastor Dave, shortly after he started here, he had this ceremonial baptism. We were all invited to come up and in the baptismal fall were these little pebbles. I thought that was pretty neat. I kept mine and I leave it on my counter in the bedroom so that when I wake up, I'm going to see that and it's going to remind me of the gift that God gave us in forgiveness. And yeah, I go out today and throughout the day and I usually screw up. I make mistakes. I've had numerous failures. Sometimes I just want to crawl under a rock and hide. The next day, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you do it again. And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, because that is our responsibility. That is what we are called to do. And that is the message for us here today, to remember our obligation, remember our responsibility of children of Jesus Christ. When you remember your baptism and you remember your responsibilities to spread the word and the Great Commission, don't squander that chance. Amen.
Oh,
go forward from this place renewed in the Spirit and rededicated to the Church of Jesus Christ as his anxious and willing servants, bathed in the glory of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.